And we're proceeding to discuss the issue with our next guest speaker, Daniel Pipes, the president of the Middle East Forum in the United States. Dr. Pipes, just does the American party really mean it when they are describing the Russian proposal as a breakthrough?
The Obama administration finds itself in a difficult spot without support domestically or internationally, and therefore would be quite happy to find a resolution that does not require force.
But sir, in that case, how do we need to understand the week-long deadline? I mean, what should the Assad's government do to, well, within that week? Because evidently placing the whole of the arsenal in the international control within a week is not exactly a realistic term, is it?
Well, without going into technical details, I think the important part of the message is that the Assad government would take serious steps towards releasing control of its chemical arsenal, believed to be, by the way, the largest chemical arsenal in the world. So yeah, I don't think it would have to be finished within a week, but it would require the Assad government to acknowledge its chemical weapons and to release control of them. That is something it could start doing immediately. I do think that the substantial parts of the chemical weapon holdings could be transferred to other governments. That's certainly possible, and then they could be destroyed. It would be a desirable outcome. I think everyone's agreed that an American strike or American-led strike on Syria is an unattractive possibility. So it would be a good idea to have fewer chemical weapons in Syria. It would be a good idea not to have a military attack on Syria.
And what could be the practical steps in that direction, so that our listeners get a better idea of that? What is usually done in those circumstances?
I don't think there's any precedent. Indeed, the whole idea of a country like the United States attacking another country because of the use of chemical weapons is completely new. There's no prior history of this. In other words, there's no attack on the United States. We're not defending ourselves. In contrast, for example, to Afghanistan in 2001, this is something new. So I would imagine it would require the president of Syria to agree to these terms, and then it would take some time to work out the specifics. But a negotiating process would begin, and the plans for a military strike would be suspended.
Suspended. But in fact, the opponents of this stance are quoting the examples of Iraq and Libya.
Well, in the case of Iraq, there was no willingness to turn over the weapons. Indeed, one could argue that in 1991, Saddam Hussein agreed to inspections and to turn over his weapons, and then he didn't fulfill it, and that the attack in 2003 was in response to his unwillingness to fulfill his obligations. And in Libya, the Gaddafi government turned over its nuclear infrastructure, and then there was an internal rebellion that began in 2010. So I don't think either of those are similar to this, which is a clean case of the Syrian government attacking its own people with chemical weapons, and the U.S. and French government saying, we're going to punish you for this. I know precedent for it. I'm not happy about it. I really, if I were voting in the U.S. Congress, I would vote against this resolution to attack Syria.
Well, definitely. I think that most people are quite unhappy about that. And but by the way, have the UN inspectors come up with any conclusions about the use of chemical weapons?
No, we do not. We have not heard from the UN inspectors. I think it's quite clear that the Syrian government did use chemical weapons. It owns them. The rebels do not have them. There was an attack on Bashar al-Assad a few days before. It seems quite certain to me that this was a initiative by the Syrian government, not by the rebels.
But remember, the AP has quoted the rebel leaders as saying that it was the accident with the rebels.
Well, it's not absolutely certain. I agree with you. There is contradictory evidence. I'm certainly in favor of waiting till all the evidence is in and the conclusions are drawn before taking any military action, if military action is to be taken. At the same time, I think it's quite clear that it was the Syrian government that used the chemical weapons against its own population.
Mm. And finally, sir, suppose the Congress votes against the military action. Do you think that the strike could still happen?
I think it matters. This is a political act. It's not a constitutional act. The president does not have to have support of Congress. And specifically, he does not have to have support of the House of Representatives. So this is political. And in this case, I think it makes a difference what the proportion is. If the president were to lose, say, 219 to 216 in the House, he would be very, very close, and he could still argue that there was wide support. But if he were to lose, say, 410 to 25, then there would be a very strong repudiation. And at this point, it looks like the repudiation will be very strong. There are, so far, few congressmen and not too many senators who are willing to support them. If that happens, I think it will be very difficult for Obama to go through with an attack for political reasons. He doesn't have international support. He doesn't have Security Council support. He doesn't have domestic support. The polls are against him. It will be quite difficult.
Sir, thank you so much. And just to remind you, our guest speaker this time was Daniel Pipes, the president of the Middle East Forum in the United States. And with this, we end this edition of Burning Point. I'm Ekaterina Kudashkina.